From 1 till 4, Afternoons with Matt Webb. Cambridge
105. Now, news presentation has evolved over the years. Back in the days of black and white television, it was men sitting up straight behind a desk. But fast forward to 2016 and it's all very different now. With the launch of 24-hour news channels across the world, television news has evolved in terms of delivery and presentation. Presenters are no longer confined to a desk. They're presenting from news walls, and even in the case of Kirsty Young in 1997 on Channel 5, perched on the edge of a desk. Joining me now to talk about her journey to becoming a presenter on the BBC News Channel is the journalist Martine Croxall. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, Matt. Nice to talk to you.
So where did it all begin for you in the world of journalism?
Well, I started off doing a little bit of writing for my student newspaper when I was at Leeds. And I did a placement at my local newspaper, which was the Hinckley Times. I wrote the weddings page. And then I just got cracking with my degree, really, and went off travelling after university. And when I got back, I approached BBC Radio Leicester, which was the local radio station closest to where I was brought up and where my parents still live. And in those days, it was much easier to just ring up and get somebody to give you a shot. And the boss very generously said, yeah, come in, come and see what we're about, we'll see what you're about. And that's how it got started. I started off just answering the phones, making the coffee, working on the morning phone-in programme. And then one day I was asked to go and do an interview in the middle of Leicester live with a man dressed as a tree. And that's how it all started. He was the mascot for the fundraising campaign to plant a forest in northwest Leicestershire. And I was the only one in the newsroom, so I got sent to interview him. And I was so nervous. It was ridiculous. But I made a good job of it. And then they trained me to use the radio car, and I spent the next 6 months broadcasting live from all over Leicestershire and Rutland. It was a great start. It was one of the best jobs you could have had.
So local radio was a good grounding for you then?
Yeah, local radio was the best start I could have had, really. I got to do pretty much everything on the station, you know, producing, reporting, news reading, and eventually presenting. And I suppose because local radio often, as you probably know, doesn't have enough staff to do everything that you want to do. You don't have enough money to do everything you want to do. So you become very resourceful and you get chances, you know, to do things that you would probably wait years for if you were in a much bigger newsroom.
So how did you make the switch from radio to working in television then?
When I worked in the East Midlands, we used to have this system of secondment so that you'd apply for it as if it was a job. And then every year, four local radio reporters would get the chance to go and learn how to do TV at East Midlands Today. And that's how I got started. I did a 3 or 4 month attachment. I took lots and lots of story ideas with me. They got onto air, and I ended up with a little show reel. And then the idea is that you go back to your home station with all these new skills that at some point you'll hopefully be able to put into practice. And then a job came up at Newsroom Southeast in Hertfordshire, which used to cover London and the southeast of England. And I applied for it and I got it. So I was only back at Radio Leicester for about 2 months before I moved down to the southeast and started working in TV full time. I did that for 3 years. And then, again, it was word of mouth. Somebody told me about a job that was going at Television Centre, and I applied for it and I got it, having done a screen test. It was presenting a funny little programme called UK Today, which you may not remember. And it was a filler programme at 6:30 in the evening. It was a digest of lots of regional stories from all over England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales. And it was a really good training ground, again, because a lot of the material didn't make it in very quickly. So you didn't have your lead story or your second story or your third story or your fourth story, and you would just be making it up as you were going along. So then moving on to work for live and continuous news on the BBC News Channel, well, that was the best grounding I could have had, really, because as we'll probably come on to, things often go wrong when we are on air.
Yes, we'll come on to that in a couple of moments.
Yeah.
But in November last year, you were on air at the time of the Paris attacks on the BBC News Channel. Now, I suppose one of the key skills to TV news presentation is being alert, because as with said incident, it was very much a developing story for several hours.
Yes, it was. I was off air at the time when it started to break, and just a line dropped at about 8:40 on the Friday evening, the 13th of November. I shall never forget the date. And it was gunshots had been fired in Paris. And we all kind of looked at each other in the newsroom and thought, it probably won't be anything. It could be a car backfiring or a firework going off or a gunshot, but just a solitary gunshot. And then another line dropped about 10 minutes later, and then another one. And it was actually my colleague, Tim Wilcox, who was first on air. And he had the really difficult first hour where we didn't really know what was going on. We hadn't got any pictures really coming in. We were relying on just a little bit of telephone footage and some maps to show people where we were talking about, and the producers worked really, really hard trying to find eyewitnesses and speak to people on the ground. And then I went on air at 10:30 till 1 in the morning. And by that stage, things were really starting to develop. We knew that we were dealing with coordinated multiple terror attacks across, you know, one of the biggest cities in the world on a Friday night when it's bound to be very busy. So we knew we were dealing with something pretty big. And then news lines started to drop on the news wires of hostages being taken at the Bataclan Theatre. And it was at that point that I think a sort of shiver went through me, really, when I knew that the number of casualties we were talking about was probably going to be big. And indeed, 90 people died in that, and many more were injured, of course. So it was one of those stories where you realised as you were reporting it, the enormity of it and how this was another sort of life-changing story, particularly for Europe.
Now, former CBS Network news correspondent David Henderson wrote of your handling of the Paris attacks. He said, "A no-nonsense BBC News presenter brought level-headed clarity to the attacks and horror in Paris with an understated professional style." That's a huge accolade for what you do in presenting the news to the UK.
Yes, David was extremely generous in his critique of what we did. I have to say, as you know, with radio, you're just a member of the team. You happen to be the person that's on the screen, the person that everybody sees, and you're the gatekeeper of everything that you do. And it's probably even more of a team effort in TV than it is in radio, because it takes so many people to get a programme on air. I was really lucky that night that I was on with an extremely experienced group of producers, editors and directors and gallery staff. And we just didn't get in each other's way. You know, we just let each other do what we needed to do. It was actually very calm. You know, lots of times people will think that a breaking story is bedlam in the newsroom. And it really wasn't. I mean, people are working very, very hard to keep me fed with guests, you know, contributors, people I can talk to. But they made my job much easier because they were very calm. They were very quiet. And I think one of the reasons I like working for the BBC is that we do just try to tell the story straight. You know, I know that we have a lot of critics, of course we do, and we don't always get absolutely everything right. But if you compare the way we do things with the way, say, the American networks choose to do things, we're much calmer about it all, I suppose. And it isn't our job, we feel, to tell you how to think. It's just to tell you what's happening, and then you can decide for yourself how you feel as the viewer. That's not to say that we don't get affected by stories. We certainly do, and the older I get, the more affected I am. But yeah, it was a very nice appraisal of our efforts from David Henderson.
So how do you handle people talking in your ear whilst delivering a piece to camera? Is it one of these skills where you've either got it or you haven't, or is it something that you can learn?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't find it particularly difficult, but I'd started off as a radio presenter, and you know what it's like when you're on air. You know, your producer will sometimes talk in your ear while you're on air, and you're having to concentrate on lots of different things. One of the more difficult things that I found when I moved from radio to television was no longer having a clock on the wall I could look at to talk to time. In TV, the count is in your ear. You know, they count you down to zero. You do get used to it. You end up with a bit of a sort of split sense of hearing, really. I think some people find it more difficult than others. I have seen people stop and be completely unable to keep talking while someone's talking to them. So it's like anything, you know, you just get used to it in the end. And some people find it easier than others.
And you also present the papers. Tell us what happens to prepare for that.
Yeah, the papers is a fantastic thing to present because it's by and large not scripted. So we can just have a bit of fun with it. And my boss is a chap called Sam Taylor. And about 3.5 years ago, he sort of reinvented the paper review for the BBC News Channel. And he said to Clive Myrie and me, just have some fun with it, you know, and obviously within the bounds of decency and legality, that's what we try and do. The guests tend to come in at about 9:15. We sit and have a chat out in the newsroom. We go through the front pages when they eventually come in. They seem to get later and later. And with the assistant editor who's in charge that night, we decide which stories we're going to do. And obviously you pick the big stories on the front of the papers. And if there's one particular story you certainly that's dominating, you can't ignore that. But we do try and pick some of the lighter ones as well, because the news can be very grim a lot of the time. And if there's a way of having a bit of fun with it and introducing some levity, I think we have a responsibility to do that. And it seems to go down really well with the viewers. It's taken off and maintained its audience really well.
And there are, of course, some lighter sides to news presentation, and that's when things tend to go wrong. I think you know what I'm going to come on to now.
Yes.
There's been a few hiccups over recent years on the news channel since the move to new broadcasting house. Obviously, you've got robotic cameras now, and they seem to have a habit of doing their own thing. Let's just listen to some of those amusing moments just for a second.
Good evening and welcome to BBC News. I'm Martine Croxall. It's 9:00. I'm just going to move back to the main set. I know this has happened before, but here we are. If I sidle in, you can pretend that you haven't noticed. Do you know, I swear I'm jinxed. What am I going to do? Am I going to stay where I am? I'll stay here. Do you know, I was just going to say, and look, I'm even on the right camera.
So tell us, whose fault is it? Is it yours or the director's in the gallery then?
Well, as you said, I've got to be very careful here, haven't I? As you said, Matt, the cameras are remotely operated. They run round in a sort of circular railway track. We don't have a camera operator actually in the studio with us. It's all done remotely on a computer back in the gallery. And if you want the camera to go to a certain place, you have to type in a certain automation code. And if someone hasn't taken out an automation code that you don't want, the camera just does as it's told. So sometimes when everybody's really busy, or if it's a bit of a complicated sequence, people forget to take codes out. However, the other day, I was at fault because I should have moved. The director said to me, don't forget, off the back of the headlines, you need to move to the catwalk. And I was so worried about the headline sequence working out, because it didn't work out properly at all, I forgot to move. So I had to sort of very steadily, in a very somber sort of way, trudge my way from the desk round to the catwalk. So we're all at fault, I'm afraid. And we always blame the technology, but ultimately somebody's programmed that technology to do what we want it to do. And if you've programmed it wrongly, well, it doesn't think for itself, not yet anyway.
And of course, news presentation has evolved over the years. Obviously, you're not glued to a desk anymore. You do actually present stuff from the big screen. And obviously, there's outside source on the channel with Ros Atkins on the what's called the weather balcony, presenting from the big screen. Do you prefer standing up to present, or are you one of these people who prefers to sit down and have all the papers in front of you?
I do prefer to sit if I can. I don't mind standing. I mean, I do outside broadcasting. You're standing all day and it's just you and a clipboard, and you're hopefully you've got your wits about you. But no, I understand why we're trying to vary things, ring the changes with TV. We're trying to, you know, show a different shot. And those big boards are really great because you can have huge pictures and graphics and complicated sequences in them. But sometimes for a big breaking story, you just want to be sitting down, because you need to be able to see your laptop, which is embedded in this under the desk. And on that, you have your running order. You have all of the news wires like Reuters and the Press Association. And all those wires are dropping all the time. And you probably have a search engine open, and you'll have Twitter open as well. So there's a lot going on in your screen under your desk, which you're in control of. And if you haven't got that in a breaking situation, it's more difficult. It's not impossible, but it's more difficult. And I think sometimes you just need to sit down and tell the story, and standing up doesn't make it any better or any easier, and the story isn't told any more cleverly, if you like.
Okay, and finally, what advice would you give to an aspiring Martine Croxall or Hugh Edwards?
Oh my goodness. Well, I never intended to be a presenter. I was very shy as a kid, and I wanted to be a radio magazine programme producer. I never intended to be on air. But I suppose these days what everybody's looking for is evidence that you're really keen. So it's no good just saying I'm really interested in the news or I'm really interested in broadcasting. That you need to be able to show evidence of it. So if you can volunteer at a radio station, a hospital radio, or you know, a local licensed radio station, do that and write and blog and vlog and just try and put together a body of work that shows that you're really interested in the news or entertainment or science or broadcasting or whatever it is you're interested in. And then you've got something tangible to show a prospective employer that you're not just saying it, you've actually made the effort to go out and find out about the industry and do your bit.
Well, Martine, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you very much for joining me on Cambridge 105 today, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you on the next edition of The Papers.
Matt, thank you very much, and fingers crossed the cameras work.
Thank you very much.